Mini episode 321 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 321. It's FDH Lounge dignitaries Rick Morris and Kyle Ross. Break that down for you as we do every week during the NFL season. It's NFL week six. About to get into another week of hopefully what will not be continued carnage for me. I was 6-8 on all of my picks last week, 1-2 on my big three, 0-1 on the lock. Sadly, that 1-2 got me off the schneid for the year. Yes, 1-14 on my recommended three picks, 0-5 on the locks, 28-44-5 overall, 1-2.
It's 7-9, yeah. Which still isn't very good. And I was, it's funny, Ricky, I was joking with you off air that, it seems that there's never been a time where I kind of feel I have a better grasp on the league. You know, I certainly have access to the most information I've ever had, but I'm just not right picking the right game so far. But I think that changes this week. I've got a good group of three this week ready for you, armed with some good information for these games, and we'll see if we can get a, there's a lot of teams that have kind of either, exceeded my expectations or not met them, and we'll see if we can get a handle on them this week.
Okay. All right, great. We, as always, this is not up in time for the Thursday night game, so this is more just for the record. If you want to find out the FDH Lounge picks for this, just go to Twitter every week, twitter.com/the FDH Lounge, twitter.com/the FDH Lounge. It is Bears hosting the Giants. Bears are laying 8, up from 3 initially. My pick on this one, just for whatever it's worth.
Hold on. That information, that 3 was a misprint there.
Okay.
I wanted to warn you that. That's why I sent you that other page, because there was a number of egregious things I saw on that page, which is why I wanted to show you. I mean, that number kind of opened up at that number opened at 9.5.
Oh, 9.5. Okay. All right. 9.5. All right. So that's there's going to be any number. Maybe I should just read the closing lines, or not closing lines, but lines in progress here, and just skip it, because there was a whole bunch of them this week from the source we were using that appeared to open one way and go far the other way. All right. Bears laying the 8. I still like the Bears in this game, for whatever it's worth.
You know, call me crazy, but. And I'm not recommending you play this game, but the only play you can make here, in my opinion, is the Giants at 0-5 against the number. They've got to cover at least. I don't think they're going to win this game, but they've at least got to cover once, don't they? I know that strategy has got me in trouble a couple times this year. But let's not forget the Bears, who I went with last week. They did not look good against the Saints at all. Two of their wins. The first two, as a matter of fact, that they're both division games, Minnesota and they weren't both division games, Minnesota and Cincinnati, pardon me, Minnesota and Cincinnati, they needed to rally in the second half just to win those games. I think this is too many points. The public obviously hates the Giants, so it hasn't stopped them from betting the number down. If you can still get more than a touchdown here, I think it's the way to go. I know the Giants have been absolutely just odious this year. But I think taking points would be the way to go in this matchup.
Okay, almost a full slate of games. Only teams off this week, Atlanta and Miami. Jumping to the Sunday games, Oakland at Kansas City. This laying is 8.5 for the Chiefs that they are laying in this one. I've had a brutal time on games overall this year. A lot of times in particular, it has involved the Oakland Raiders. They were a loser for me last week on one of my big three. I was going against them in the San Diego game. So if I had a guaranteed play against my pick, it would probably be in this game here. My pick, for whatever it's worth after I just put all those qualifiers on it, would be Kansas City here. I think that they're going to be a little bit better adjusted to the Terrell Pryor defense I'm sorry, the Terrell Pryor offense than was the San Diego defense a week ago here. So Chiefs laying the 8.5 at home, my pick.
Yeah, this number's actually come down. Before the year, I thought I was kind of crazy for saying the Raiders would win like 5 games, and everyone pretty much said this is the worst team in the league. But how many times do we see it? The perceived worst team in the league often outperforms expectations. That's what we've had with the Raiders. Terrell Pryor is a real NFL quarterback, folks. He's good. I mean, he's better. We live here in Cleveland. Terrell Pryor is a better NFL quarterback than Brandon Weeden after just four or five games. There's just no doubt about it in my mind. That being said, here's a quirky stat, Ricky. Oakland has won 6 straight years in Arrowhead Stadium. I read. I was stunned by that because they haven't been good at really any of those seasons. So Kansas City going to win this game, but I'm very leery about that number. I think people have caught on to just how good the Chiefs are. I told you the last couple weeks, this team's going to win 12. Other than the 2 times they play Denver, which will probably be both losses, they're not going to lose many more games than that. I think this is like a 12-win football team. They'll win this game. I'm nervous about the cover. This might be one you want to throw into a teaser, especially now the lines come down with, say, maybe like a Cincinnati who's at Buffalo. If you want to do a 2-team, 6-point teaser, I would recommend playing it that way. But I don't really want to lay more than 1 score with Kansas City, who was pretty shaky last week at Tennessee.
They certainly were. And, again, very good advice on the teaser there. Perhaps some folks will heed that as well. This next game, I'd be surprised if you had any kind of a recommendation on this one, informal or otherwise, because this one's just a mess all over the place here. Tampa Bay hosting Philadelphia. Dick Stockton, Rondé Barber, Chris Budden will have the honor and pleasure of watching this one from the booth and sidelines, respectively, on Fox. This is one with Tampa Bay presently getting 2 points. I've seen very jumbled lines this week for this game. Some of that having to do with the health or lack thereof of Michael Vick. Looks like Nick Foles is going to be going at quarterback for the Eagles. That makes me a little hesitant, but I'm still seeing Eagles in this one. Tampa Bay is due to get one at one of these points here, but Nick Foles greater than Mike Glennon, in my estimation, and I think that's what it comes down to. The Eagles, not a team configured to go and win a lot of road games these days, but I see this as a situation. It's the perfect storm in Tampa. Gun to my head, I say take Philly, lay the 2.
Yeah, you're right. There's no way I'm making a play on the side of this game. Eagles surprised me, obviously, last week, winning at the Giants. It was a game they controlled largely throughout. I know that there was, a brief time where it was close, but, the Eagles looked good, and there wasn't much of a drop-off when Foles came in under center. Tampa Bay, though, I know they're 0-4, but they're off a bye, and they easily could have won 3 of their 4 games. The only game that they didn't look good in was the one against New England. Other than that, they, have held late leads in the other 3 games. Certainly, if not for a stupid penalty, should have beat the Jets. If not for a missed field goal, they probably would have beat the Saints. And then, they came from ahead to lose 2 weeks ago against Arizona. If anything, I kind of like the over in this matchup. To be honest with you, I still think the Eagles are going to put points on the board, even with Foles at quarterback. But the problem is their defense can't stop anybody, so I wouldn't be surprised to see Tampa Bay put a season high in points on the board themselves. So this one could be higher scoring than expected, but as far as the side goes, no way am I getting involved here.
Don't blame me at all. The game that's up next might be the biggest battle this week of the most unlikely teams with winning records, the 3-2 Lions at the 3-2 Browns. A battle of the unjustly maligned Jim Schwartz and the justly maligned, as we did before, Brandon Weeden. And, again, 2.5 points the line here, Detroit laying them on the road. Because of Weeden, because of hesitation about that, I'm set to go on the Lions in this one here. It'll be interesting. I do think Weeden is going to make very good use of Jordan Cameron, who has been about as dominant as Larry Cameron in Stampede about 25 years ago. But probably more as a safety blanket than a downfield threat, as he's been previously and was with Brian Hoyer. Browns can keep it close, especially because of that dominant front 7. But I like the Lions to cover this one on the road.
Well, you can even get the Lions as low as -1 at some books right now. Obviously, the big story here and why I'm, one of the many reasons I'm laying off here is the uncertain status of Calvin Johnson. Did not practice yesterday, reportedly. So that's kind of tough. Now, I'll say this. I've often compared the betting I've often compared betting to a game of chess, where sometimes you just want things, you just kind of hold off to set something up moving forward. Such was the case last week. I was hoping that the Browns would beat Buffalo, which they did. And then I was hoping Detroit would get blown out by Green Bay, which they did. But this line's still open at a field goal. You know me, if you have a road favorite of a field goal or more, I'm just not interested. You have the Calvin Johnson situation as well. Makes me even less interested in the Lions. The Lions are historically not a good road team. And listen to this, Ricky. Teams coming off the Thursday night game with a couple extra days to prepare, 7-1 straight up and against the number this year. The only loss was when Philadelphia got blown out by Denver a couple weeks ago. So that all speaks well to the Browns. But the only problem with that team is if they were a stock, you kind of get the feeling they're at a 52-week high right now with a three-game win streak. No one saw that coming after the Trent Richardson trade. So basically, I'm staying away here. If maybe you know something I don't know and you're confident Calvin Johnson's going to play, heck, you know, maybe get down at that -1 at some of the books who have it, because I do think Detroit wins this game on a late field goal. Sadly, I'm actually going to be at this game, so.
That is kind of sad, actually.
Yeah, that is sad. Unfortunately, I'm being dragged away by the girlfriend and the parents to go to a live NFL game as opposed to my usual spot where I get to watch them all in the warm temperatures, and I get to watch 6 80-inch televisions at once, but unfortunately I won't be doing that this week. And
you get to be surrounded by Browns fans.
I'm just so happy to do that. I'm just so happy to do that, Ricky.
Surrounded by Browns fans in a stadium as opposed to the sports bar where you can at least drown yourself in the other games. That's got to be something.
Well, it's funny. The places I go to are always like these weird places with out-of-market fans. There's always like some guy in a Miami Dolphins cap and then there's a guy in an Aaron Rodgers jersey. I've been very good at avoiding Browns fans despite the fact that I've lived my entire life in Cleveland. So
you're very fortunate in that regard. Your point is well taken on Calvin Johnson. If you go back to the preseason, Detroit looked downright fugly against the Browns without Calvin Johnson in there. That was the first hint of just how great this Browns defense was potentially going to look during the season, but it's like night and day with that Detroit offense when they have Megatron and when they don't.
Yeah, they didn't look good last week at all against sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. They didn't look good last week at all against Green Bay without him either. They couldn't move the ball, and that touchdown they scored came very late. In the game, I think it was the fourth quarter, if I remember. They did nothing against the Packers, and the Packers don't exactly have a great defense. So,
very good point and a much more recent reference than mine, truthfully. Next up on the docket, 2-3 St. Louis at 2-3 Houston, the latter number, a real shocker. This one, 1 o'clock on Fox, interconference game. And, again, this is one of the two teams that I expected to make the playoffs at the beginning of the year. It's interesting they had the same record, but I'm pretty much throwing in the towel on the Rams, where I'm not quite on the Texans, but I'm almost at that point. I have very little doubt Houston wins this game. It's one that they need. It's an absolute back-against-the-wall situation. I just don't see them covering for whatever reason. The Rams are enough of, with that defense, the way that they can rise up at times, just enough of it, as we've talked about previously on the show, one of these penis-punching teams that can kind of get in the back door of the late field goal. I like St. Louis to sneak in. I don't think there's any way they win the game, but I would take the 7.5.
Yeah, maybe, I referenced, doing a two-team teaser with Kansas City earlier. Maybe Houston's another team you could throw in with them. We haven't talked about the Cincinnati-Buffalo game yet, obviously. But, because I'm with you, this does have the makings of a get-well game for the Texans. I don't think you give up on that shot entirely yet. If you win this game, maybe hopefully Indianapolis loses it Monday night. You're still only a game back in the division. And there's a big Monday night. I think it's a Monday night game. Houston and Indianapolis play in a couple weeks. So all is not lost for the Texans. Truth be told, I got them at -7 early in the week. I got down real early. That number has since been bet up, and I don't like them anymore, laying more than a score. But I don't like the Rams at all. I'll be honest with you, and that was one that we differed on before the year. I don't think they're a very good team, and Sam Bradford's just not very good, in my opinion. And I think this one has the makings of a get-well game for the Texans. The AFC has had the NFC's number as well, too. So, Houston, I'm with you. They win straight up, and it's going to be right around the number.
Yeah, so we got that consensus on that one. The next game, again, there are a number of games this week that look like they're just going to be very, very ugly. And notwithstanding the fact that the weather looks like it's going to cooperate and it doesn't look like it's going to be that bad, this looks like one of them. The winless Pittsburgh Steelers, love saying that as a Browns fan, 0-4 at the 3-2 Jets. Nance Sims and Cower are on the call for this one here. I don't know what merits the A-team for CBS on a game like this other than the fact that nobody has to travel to go there, which is maybe CBS. Maybe this is a side effect of the government shutdown. Of course, CBS is just trying to not have any travel for their announcers.
Yeah, more on that later, by the way. More on that later.
Some unspecified connection, utterly unspecified connection. Jets laying 1.5 at home. You've often said beware of those short home favorites. And in this one, I'm going to take you up on that and say I would take the 1.5. I've said this before. I said this in the Vikings game in London, and I was wrong. But this can't keep going on forever with Pittsburgh, much as I, as a Browns fan, am relishing at no end. I think my joy in their downfall comes to at least a partial end on Sunday as they get off the Schneid. I would take Pittsburgh in the 1.5. I think that defense is due for a performance that is going to befuddle Geno Smith. And he has been fairly well befuddled even in some of their wins thus far this year. I look for the Steelers to get their first win on the road.
Yeah, let's give the Jets some credit, though, first. They played their best game of the year, went into Atlanta on Monday night, won the game outright. No one saw that coming. And they're going to probably win. They, like the Raiders, are one of those teams that's going to win more games than most people thought before the year, bottom line. Tennessee, throw them in that mix too. The Jets are a team that most people had penciled in for 4 or 5 wins. They've already got 3. They're probably going to get 6 or 7 when it's all said and done. Now they are going to get in the teeth of their schedule here in a little bit. But they're on a short week here too, off a big outright win on Monday night. So this is a very natural letdown spot for the Jets, whereas the Steelers, obvious desperation mode, 0-4, off a bye. I also saw something pretty funny, Ricky, that I think it was the shutdown corner from Yahoo. They do a good job. Not that I'm plugging anybody, but they do a good job, and they showed the Daily News is the big paper that always talks about the Jets in New York. They had Geno Smith, a star in the making, on the cover, and shutdown corner showed an issue of the Daily News from like 4 or 5 years ago. It must have been the same headline with Mark Sanchez on the cover. So I think there could be some people putting the cart before the horse with Geno Smith. You can even get Pittsburgh plus 2.5 in some shops. This was what I like to call dumb money, moving the line, betting the Jets after the Monday night win. This is my first of 3 recommended plays. Pittsburgh gets off the Schneid. I love the fact they get points to play with 2. Steelers are my first of 3 recommended plays this week.
I thought about this one as a recommended play. I tend to shy away from games that involve real dreg teams like the Steelers have been thus far this year. I commend you on your guts. I think that's just what separates us on this one. You have the guts to take them, notwithstanding their 0-4 record, as a recommended play, and I just don't.
Well, here's the thing. They're not going to win as many games as the Jets this year. This just is. They're just not. I mean, Pittsburgh, they're going to be – who would have thought that before the year? Pittsburgh is like a 4 or 5 win team probably this year. But if they're not going to win this week when you're off a bye against a team playing on a short week off a huge outright victory, I mean, when are you going to win then? I mean,
right.
I was looking at, Pittsburgh, obviously, we've been saying they've had to win for the last couple weeks, but, I mean, they don't win here, man. I mean, it's going to be like, number 2 draft pick time in Pittsburgh, I think. I mean, it's awful.
Yeah, that's the way in which it's going. Next up, a battle of 2 teams that have been very unpredictable, meaning very unfriendly to the bettors in recent weeks here. The 3-2 Bengals at the 2-3 Bills. And Cincinnati is laying 6.5 on the road in this one. A little bit of a steep number, again, particularly given the unpredictability of the 2 teams. Could be a little bit of a letdown coming off of the New England win last week, but notwithstanding all these reasons where I'm saying I should go the other way, I just can't. I think Cincinnati's going to keep up the momentum. I think they're going to start getting rid of some of this inconsistency. Could be famous last words. I'll take the Bengals covering the 6.5 at Buffalo.
When I was in my utopian surroundings last week watching multiple games on 80-inch TVs, again, I'm not going to be doing it this week, not that I'm bitter or anything like that, I watched almost every play of the Cincinnati-New England game. It was on one of the three big screens. And this isn't news to anybody, but really reinforced who the Bengals are. This defense is fantastic. I mean, I know that there was really bad weather at the end of the game, and that always helps the defense. But they made Tom Brady look as bad. And granted, Brady's got, you know, not exactly his finest receiving core in his career to work with. But still, this Bengals defense played its heart out to win that game. It was all them why they won the game. And at the same time, Andy Dalton, I don't know if the Bengals still have extra picks from when they fleeced the Raiders for Carson Palmer. But if they do, they may want to think in what's going to be a quarterback-rich draft next year. I'm not, you know, I mean, this is kind of like typical overreaction guy, but I'm serious here. They should look into maybe trading up in the first round and getting a real quarterback for next year, because Andy Dalton is holding this team back. Now, at the same time, Buffalo's quarterback situation is worse.
Thaddeus Lewis, anybody?
Yeah. Thaddeus Lewis will spare us from Tool time for four quarters, and good Lord, if he looked bad against the Browns. I mean, Jeff Tool is bad. I mean, what was it? They gained like 18 yards on 14 plays with him at quarterback against the Browns last week.
That's like a hefty 1.4 yards per play.
Yeah. Like I said earlier, with the Bengals' offensive woes, I have no inclination to lay any points with them on the road, especially off the big win, like you mentioned. But maybe throw them in the teaser, like I said, because I do expect them to win the game, obviously. But keep in mind that stat I said earlier in the program, teams off a Thursday game, 7-1 straight up and against the number. So that's kind of another reason to be weary of laying the points of the Bengals here.
Something to be mindful of. Very interesting. Next up, a battle of two teams with winning records, one unexpected, one highly expected. The 3-2 Titans at the 4-1 Seahawks. Gumbel and Deardorff with the call, 4:05 Eastern time on CBS on Sunday. So CBS according this matchup, some level of respect. Seattle weighing 13 points in this one. It's been right around two touchdowns all week. Just in looking at this here again, and I'm one of those people that didn't give Tennessee any respect coming into the season, and I don't mean to overcorrect here. Yeah, that number just seems a little bit high. I know Seattle is going to be out for blood after what happened last week in Indianapolis. I know they're a different team at home. Again, you talk about the whole penis punching scenario. This thing's got like, you know, 26-14 written all over it for me. You know, I see Seattle winning this game, but I'm just queasy about the number. I would take the points.
Remember when I said at the top, when we talk about the Giants-Bears in that here, let me go back to my magic, let me channel Magic Johnson again like I did last week. There's two sides in this game, okay? And one of them's got to win. And in this, Tennessee is not the play here. If you're going to play this game, you probably have to play Seattle. Now, that said, I think the expectation that they're going to return home and, you know, kick ass and take names is so prevalent that you do have to be wary. Like you said, Tennessee's a little better than – they're not a little better than I thought. They're significantly better than I thought. I thought this team might be the worst in the league coming into the year, but the defense has been a tremendous revelation. Seattle – look, and by the way, that was another game that I watched almost every play, that Seattle-Indianapolis game. The Seahawks should have won that game. Just so you know, for those of you who didn't get a chance to see, they outgained the Colts. They let them hang around by kicking too many field goals. Seattle wins here, but, you know, it's kind of up to Pete Carroll, I guess, if he wants to cover the spread, shades of his USC days, I suppose. I mean, keep in mind, Ryan Fitzpatrick still under center for Tennessee. You know, their offense looked pretty bad against Kansas City last week. I think if they had Locker in, they could have beat the Chiefs. But this and the San Francisco-Arizona game are very identical to me this week. I just – the home team's going to win, but I'm just not interested in getting involved with the point spread.
Well, speaking of games with an inflated point spread, let's go to one with double the last game. The 0-5 Jags at the 5-0 Broncos. It's been a source of tittering all week on just how far above the three touchdowns or three-and-a-half touchdowns this line was going to be. It presently is sitting at 26.5 points that Denver is weighing. again, you and I talked about this off air. You talked me off the ledge in terms of making Denver a recommended play, and I found that persuasive. But I've been wrong a few times on thinking that Denver was going to cover. I've been wrong multiple times on thinking that the line was too inflated for the Jags. I won't make either of those mistakes again. Denver can score basically at will in this game. It reminds me of a couple of weeks ago. I was talking about this off air with fellow Lounge dignitary Nate Noy, watching the Ohio State game where I think they were playing Florida A&M. And I said, it looked really impressive on film because they were out there executing guys against guys about the same size and everything like that in pads, but it might as well have been you and I, or it might as well have been high school guys. And I think it's kind of like the same thing. You're just going to see offensive execution at will here, and the Jacksonville offense that's been unable to do anything all year long. Yeah, I think it's only a matter of how much mercy John Fox and Peyton Manning are going to show. And after the Jaguars and Broncos had their little social media tiff earlier in the week, I don't think much mercy is in the offing. So, yeah, I'll take Denver laying all those points.
Look, Denver scored more points last week than Jacksonville scored all year.
Yes.
That's not good. But you can't play Denver here. It's either Jacksonville or you don't play. The line opened at 28. It's the highest point spread of any game not involving an expansion team since the 60s. But depending on what your closing line was for that Seattle-Jacksonville game, it closed under 20 in some shops. Now, they wouldn't have covered regardless had it been over 20. But if you don't count that as a 20-point spread, that game, the Seattle-Jacksonville game, then the last 8 underdogs of 20 or more have all covered the spread. It happened a few years ago with Indy against New England. And I'm never a conspiracy guy, but with the amount of attention this point spread has received, I think Denver's going to call the dogs off in the second half. And it's not like they're going to deliberately try and not cover the game, but Peyton Manning is not going to play the full game, I don't believe. I mean, you're right. Denver is going to be – they could easily be up 35-3 at halftime. There's no denying that. I just see – it'll be really interesting, too, to identify the better – well, it's at 4 o'clock, so I can make my way maybe to my favorite place. But it'll be really interesting to – you'll be able to tell who the betters are if you've got, like, a 35-3 game here on the last drive. And Jacksonville's got the ball, and they're trying to score a touchdown. I kind of see that being the case. This is not a recommended play, but my lean is to Jacksonville with the points. You maybe want to parlay it with the under as well, because, again, I just think Denver's calling off the dogs early in this game. They got bigger fish to fry. I think they're playing Indianapolis next week, as a matter of fact. My God, what a team that's going to be. It's in Indy with Manning returning. So I just don't see Denver – playing a full 4 quarters, unless if you really like Brock Osweiler.
I don't know why anybody would. The man who's the king of fake motivation, Bill Belichick, if he was coaching Denver, he'd have a sign up in the locker room that says, remember the 1996 playoffs. He'd have them going for revenge.
Well, Peyton Manning, did you hear Manning? Manning gave an interview and said, oh, I see a really good defense on tape. I was like, Peyton, come on. He called the Jaguars defense, quote, stingy in the red zone.
Wow.
I was laughing. And he did it with a straight face.
Extraordinarily disingenuous. We have 6 games left to blow through. Next up here, an NFC West battle. 3-2 Arizona at 3-2 San Francisco. 49ers laying 10. I'll be succinct on this one. I think this is part of San Francisco's rehabilitation from their trough earlier on. I think Arizona's been playing over their head to be 3-2. At first blush, it seems like a lot. But I think that San Francisco's getting back into gear right about now. They look pretty dangerous like we expected them to. I'd say away to 10 with San Francisco at home.
I kind of referenced this game just a few moments ago. It's very similar to Seattle and Tennessee. The home team's going to win, but it's going to be right around the number, so I'm not interested in playing the point spread. I'll say this, though. I said it earlier in the year. Wise guys, for some reason, really like this Arizona team, and they are absolutely going to finish ahead of St. Louis in the NFC West this year. I'll say that, but lay off this game.
sure looks like that's the case thus far. Even if Bruce Arians does dress like a starter down at a public golf course, it sure looks like they're going to be able to finish in at least third place in that division. The feature game on Fox on Sunday, 4:25 Eastern time, Tom Brenneman, Troy Aikman, and the delicious Cal Oliver. It's 5-0 New Orleans at 4-1 New England. And in this contest, the Patriots are laying 3 at home. There's been a historic utility streak. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady against the likes of Drew Brees and Sean Payton. I talked about it before, Bill Belichick and his whole fake motivational kind of a thing. In a game that feels like a coin flip either way, the fact that the Patriots have gotten their lunch handed to them by the Saints a number of times over the years, I think tips it. Patriots end the Saints' unbeaten streak and cover the 3 at home.
You can get this number as low as 1 at some shots. New England laying 1
wow.
point at home. Unheard of. Look,
short
Saints,
home favorite.
I told
you hate those.
yeah, I know. But here's the case. The Saints, look, no one was more on the Saints bandwagon than me going to the year. You remember that. I said that if there's a team that I feel that I'm higher on than everyone else, it's the Saints. We don't have to go through the history of the NFC South.
Yep.
People can go back and listen to that podcast if they need to. That being said, they did surprise me a little bit last week by going into Chicago and really dominating the Bears from bell to bell. But, you know, back-to-back road games, New England off a loss, Saints are going to lose eventually. And I think now is the time, second of 3 recommended plays this week, New England at home to beat New Orleans. Way the small number.
The only voice I could hear in my head as you were saying that is, by God, King, bell to bell, nobody's been getting it done like the Saints this year.
Yeah. Look, the Saints, here's the thing, too. They're going to lose a sense of urgency eventually because they're going to win this NFC South in a walk with Atlanta. We're not going to talk about them because they're on a bye. Atlanta's done, Tampa Bay's done, and Carolina can't get out of its own way with Ron Rivera.
That's absolutely true. That division is a foregone conclusion as of right now. The Monday nighter, so we're skipping the Sunday nighter. That tells you it's one of the recommended 3 plays on my part. The Monday nighter, the 4-1 Colts at the 2-3 Chargers. And this is a very interesting one, again, in terms of the line, which presently, as we're speaking, has Indianapolis laying 1.5 on the road. Again, I'm not enough of a road favorite, Ricky, to make this one of my recommended 3 for the week. But again, the Colts, I bet against them last week with Seattle. Shame on me. I know it's a must-win game for the Chargers that they're even going to stay on the periphery of the AFC wild card race, but that's not enough for me. After the egg that they laid against Oakland last week, I don't trust them. Indy to go in and take this one on the road. They're a much better team than I thought they were.
San Diego's just been that team this year that I can't figure out week to week. I think they're going to be a little bit better. They might be a little bit better than I thought before the year. I think I said 6-10, but it won't be much better. And really, that's been kind of their mantra for, the better part of a decade. You can never figure out the San Diego Chargers. At the same time, I just have to apologize to the Indianapolis Colts. They are just simply much better than I thought they were going to be. Anyone who believes in the analytics identified this team as the number one most likely team to regress coming into the year. You talk about the point differential is the worst ever by an 11-win team last year in NFL history. But everyone kind of gave one caveat if they weren't to regress, and that's, they have Andrew Luck at quarterback. And Andrew Luck, outside of the big four who are, Manning, Brady, Rodgers, and Brees, Andrew Luck is, in my opinion, the fifth best quarterback in the league already. He is just sensational. He is the reason they beat Seattle last week. That Trent Richardson trade is, I think, much ado about nothing because Trent hasn't done much for him in a couple games and the Browns haven't missed him. So I think that's just kind of, the usual Cleveland, whining about something that's not a big deal in retrospect. But I'm laying off here just because I just feel I misjudged both teams badly before the year and I don't feel comfortable. I still think the Colts have to start losing games eventually, but the last two times San Diego's been on Monday Night Football have been disastrous. They blew huge leads against Denver and Houston. Maybe you take the Chargers in the first half here, but I don't know.
Right. The one thing I will say, Trent Richardson does fit into the power running offense that Indianapolis likes to run, and I do think that will pay dividends for them down the stretch.
Well, and they don't have Ahmad Bradshaw anymore. I think he's hurt, so he better be ready to answer the bell.
That's true as well. Time for the big three plays coming from me. First up, the 2-2 Packers at the 3-2 Ravens. Four-time Lounge guest Kenny Albert on the call on this one on Fox, along with Daryl Johnston and Tony Siragusa. Baltimore in this game. This is another one of these very interesting lines that has kind of hovered right around the field goal level this entire week. And in this game, Baltimore currently is getting a few points, which is very interesting based on the way that they have both played this year. Baltimore is getting that field goal, that aforementioned field goal. I like them to cover this as the home dog in this one here.
Wow.
And there's a slim chance they may not win, but I like them getting the three against Green Bay. I think that Baltimore is going to be able to rise up at home and probably give one of the better defensive efforts that that Green Bay has seen thus far this year, which is not saying much, quite frankly.
I've got to applaud you. When you said this game, I was 95% sure you're going Green Bay. Because you are our favorite, Ricky.
Yeah.
I'll say this, though. This is actually one home dog I don't like very much, ironically enough.
I can't do anything right.
No. I'm not playing Green. I don't recommend a play on this game. I scratched it. I just think we knew the Packers were going to come out strong last week. They did. The Ravens, that was a game that was kind of a coin flip. As we got closer to game day, I kind of liked them a little bit more. A lot of the wise guys really liked the Ravens last week. They tried giving the game away. Joe Flacco sometimes is just erratic, to say the least. I just don't know, to be honest. This is a total coin flip game. I like where your head's at. I think, if you do play it, you got to go Baltimore, especially if you can maybe find a 3.5 out there. I don't know if you're going to be able to, but yeah, I'm laying off this game. Green Bay, though, they don't want to draw. I think Harbaugh. Green Bay doesn't want to obviously can't afford to drop this game because they're in the one division race that's really tight with Detroit and Chicago, and it is going to be that way for the remainder of the year. But I think under John Harbaugh, Baltimore's been incredible at home against NFC opponents. I don't have a stat in front of me, but it's really good. So, and again, the AFC's had the NFC's number. So,
yeah, which has been surprising. In terms of me taking Baltimore, part of it is, and this segues right to the next game, I had such a hard time finding three plays this week that I really liked. This next one here, again, I'm kind of breaking my own rule about not going with garbage teams, although the primary reason that one of these teams has been a garbage team does not apply this week, as Matt Cassel will be starting for the Vikings. They are at home against the also 1-3 Carolina Panthers at Mall of America Field in Minneapolis, formerly known as the Triple H Metrodome, as Sam Rosen, Brian Bilk, and the lovely and tan Laura Oakman will be on the call for Fox for this game, 1 o'clock Eastern time, on Sunday. And looking at this one, again, like Minnesota, laying the 1.5 at home, again, the primary reason they've been as bad, I'm sorry, 2.5 now, it looks like it's up to, the primary reason they've been as bad as they've been this year has been Christian Ponder. And again, with him not in there, I don't think Caroline can go in on the road and get this one done. Rough travel week coming off of the not quite coastal, but West Coast trip to Arizona last week. I like Minnesota at home. They've had the extra week to digest the London trip.
See, I actually don't think it's Christian Ponder's fault that the Vikings are 1-3. I mean, he
really
doesn't help, but their secondary is awful. I mean, they gave up all those yards. I mean, I know Brian Hoyer is a little bit better than we all expected, but that secondary stinks.
That is true.
But here's the problem. First of all, the Freeman thing is going to be a distraction for the Vikings, by the way, too, I think. I don't like this game at all.
Okay.
Carolina, though, I could have, had I been able to call this number and just start shouting inanely at halftime last week during the Carolina-Arizona game, I would have told every one of your listeners, Ricky, to bet Arizona like they, like it was their last bet in the second half. It was a typical Ron Rivera game where Carolina had dominated the stats and they only had 6 points to show for it. They wound up losing 22-6. I don't know. The Panthers eventually have to win a close game, and this game figures to be close. But, I'm not going to bet on them to do it, and I don't like the Vikings. So this is a total pass for me.
Okay.
And that means, yeah, and that means, by the way, you have obviously we do your three in a row last, and I still have one recommended play left. Oh, by the way, so we're on the same game.
The previous two seasons, I don't have the number in front of me, but it ended up being a very high percentage whenever any of my three big three picks coincided with any of your recommended plays. This is actually my 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 6. It's
wow.
1-3 Redskins at the 2-3 Cowboys. And again, I just look at this, and part of it is just kind of a gut thing, that they're only separated by half a game in the standings. But and I understand how brutal Dallas looked defensively last week, and that Romo was Romo when it counted the most at the end there. But you know what? There's a lot more than a half game's difference between how these teams have played thus far this year. This looks like a get-well scenario for Dallas.
Oh, my God,
Sunday
I can't
night.
Believe it.
And not very well. Here's the thing, too.
Oh,
because
I can't believe
October,
it.
Because it's October, it's still a low enough impact scenario, even though it's a Sunday night game. This is not one. I wouldn't like Romo if this game were in December, but it's not. It's in October. It's a crappy division. They're not as likely to choke because the stakes are so low because everybody else in this division blows. So, with they have basically some room, some breathing room here. And when there's breathing room, it's harder to choke. I'll take Dallas laying the 5.5 Sunday night as my lock pick and one of my big three, obviously.
Wow. Wow, I'll tell you what, there's two things in this country. I don't know what's more misunderstood, Ricky, okay? The true reasons for the government shutdown for the greatness of Tony Romo. Okay, let me tell you something. I was texting with a buddy with that Mark, but I thought Seattle and Annapolis, after I was done watching, it was like the best game I've seen all year. It wound up not even being the best game today. That Dallas-Denver game was absolutely through the roof, did incredible ratings, and yeah, it was so funny. Right before Romo throws the interception, I was like, you know, Tony Romo's so great. And then I was like, but he'll probably screw it up now. And then he threw an interception literally 4 seconds after. But I'll tell you what, they're not even in that game without Tony Romo. He, for 3 3/4 of that game, was just outstanding. He went toe-to-toe with Peyton Manning. And I'll tell you two other things. You're talking about being misunderstood, the government shutdown. There's two things right now that stink in Washington, okay? One, your boy John Boehner, okay? And two, I appreciate that. And two, the Redskins secondary. Tony Romo is going to light up this secondary. People are going to be on Washington. I'm surprised, actually, the number came up. I was kind of upset by that. That just shows what a public team Dallas is. But Washington's off a bye. I guarantee you. You know, Rodney Harrison and Tony Dungy, I don't have a lot of regard for that pregame show, really. But they're going to be talking, oh, Washington's got a chance to get back in this division race. It's wide open. They're off a bye. Hit the bricks, RG3. Dallas wins this game. Big. Cowboys, third of three recommended plays this week.
Right at the very end here, I'll tell you, I'm so appreciative you could make time to do the show this week. I know you were in D.C. setting up barricades at the World War II Memorial, so thank you very much for making time to do the show.
God, you know what? That asshat congressman, pardon my French, should be ashamed of himself. Okay, you know why the park was closed? Because of you, you moron, okay? I hope he listens to this show, too.
He does, actually. I have the fan mail to prove it.
Can I write him back? Can I write him back? I can't use the language I'm going to use on air, though.
That wouldn't be very pretty, but we are at the end of our allotted time, as it were. Thank you, as always, Kyle. We'll reconvene next week and knock him dead once again.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IAmBored.com.
Billboard.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.